We are glad that you're here on a Friday. Hope you're having a great day. It's a regular practice day for the Falcons up there in Indy. So both teams got their work in against each other. They'll do their thing today, and then tomorrow they'll play that second preseason game. Thanks to Daniel Flick for joining us, Mike. And you know, he said that he thought the offense obviously was better yesterday. He spent a lot of time, and I think that's where the focus is, guys. Focus is on the offense. Not saying that the defense thing isn't important, but you got to figure, and I've said this, we spend all our money on that side of the ball right now, okay? That's where all the star power is, outside of Jesse Bates. Obviously, Jalen Walker is a star in the making, but he's not on the field. JPJ is not going to be on the field for the first 8 weeks.
Right.
The money is on the offensive side of the ball. The funny thing is, that's what's supposed to be carrying us. We should be scoring points. We should have one of the most feared offenses in the NFL. And even last season, before camp, or actually when camp started, Michael Penix, his quote was, hey, we have one of the best offenses in the league. And then we didn't.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, the debate, and every time we go down this road, people have, you know, they get in their feels and we get the text messages and stuff. I mean, look, Carl said something earlier in the 2 o'clock hour that is 100% accurate. Is that hateful? You guys really are soft. Instead of yesterday, you said he hasn't established himself.
No.
Because he has it. You know, we can break down, and we have things that are in his control, things that were beyond his control. Like Zach Robinson not helping him by getting the play in, you know, in a timely fashion. You know, guys responding to when he actually did the right thing, made the right call, audibled out, and guys have their head up there, took us. You know, whether it was Darnell Mooney or Pitts at times. You know, there's things that, you know, his footwork that are on him. Bad footwork, throwing flat-footed, making lazy throws in the Carolina game. You know, there's a lot of stuff. It's not one. You cannot say that he had a good season. There's no way. Was he ahead of the game as far as touchdowns, interceptions? Yes. But you can't say it was satisfying. You can't say it was solid. You can't say it was definitive. And I don't know how any of that is hateful, mean-spirited, or incorrect.
Yeah. 9 touchdowns in 8 games. And Mike, I think the bigger question for all of us, okay, is he a franchise quarterback? Because that's why they drafted him.
Right.
That's where this is. And that's what has yet to be proven. So that part of it is, you know, that's in question right now. And hopefully we get to figure this out. But as Daniel said, no news today, and I don't think it's going to happen today, to be honest with you. I don't think they're going to release anything. I think we'll get past this preseason game, and then tomorrow, if it comes out, Mike, it'll be after the preseason game, maybe tomorrow afternoon, late. And then, right, you know, we go into next week. They'll be back here at Flowery practicing, and maybe the reports are, hey, we're seeing him every day.
Right. And the other part of this, and it's really not that complicated, guys, just anywhere outside of Atlanta where people, you know, have a different feeling and they are more objective about a quarterback battle, they look at it. And by the very fact that we've had this entire conversation all summer long is to the nature of why you shouldn't have drafted Michael Penix Jr. He's injury prone. He's played 8.5 games and he's still not ready to go. Hopefully that's all going to change within the next 72 hours. But it's still part of the problem, and part of why we don't have an answer at quarterback right now. We don't. You think he is. He's got to, number one, first thing first, play a full season. Check that box, right? Yeah, I'll give you one, because all quarterbacks at one point might miss a game here and there. But give me a full season. Give me a completion percentage. You know, be more accurate with your throws. If they check, 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 then we're good.
Yeah.
Then we can say, okay, we'll take the risk with the health. We'll get a durable backup in here, and let's go.
Right. And makes the decision easier moving forward instead of difficult. Because as much as many of you are like, hey, I'd rather be in the draft, I don't like either one of these guys, whatever your opinion may be, that makes the decision hard. You better get the right guy when you start saying those things. And we know how many teams have gotten the wrong guy. Look at the Penix draft in itself. Go look at the quarterbacks taken in that draft and look at the success rate and look at the guys that have panned out.
Right.
It's hard, guys.
It's a 50-50 shot. That's why, I mean, look, as much as I've said, Carl, and you and I have debated, you know, as our next quarterback in this draft in 2027, it's a crapshoot. At the best, it's a 50-50 shot, right? Caleb Williams, first year, they were saying it was a disaster in Chicago. Finally gets a coach who can work with him. Yeah, that's on Chicago. That's a franchise situation.
Right.
Jaden Daniels looks like rookie, I mean, all world, and then the second year takes a big step back. Can't stay healthy. So I'm not ready to crown Jaden Daniels. Drake May went to a Super Bowl. I mean, that speaks for itself, and it's a good team. It's with a good crew. Michael Penix, we just talked about. J.J. McCarthy, not as good a resume coming out of college as Mike, but Minnesota thought he was their guy. In a million years, and you and I talked about this back in 24, I never would have thought Bo Nix would be the guy he is right now. And again, he's also got a tremendous – he's got the best – he might be a creep. He's got the best offensive-minded coach maybe next to Sean McVay in the league.
And he's helped develop him. There's no doubt. Bo's not making those mistakes that we've seen other guys make. Part of that is the coaching of Sean McVay.
Right.
All right, guys, more about this coming up. We got other stories to get to, including what's going on around the NFL. Let's get to 4th and 1. The Raiders beat the Texans 22-20, but don't get it twisted. It wasn't a great night for Fernando Mendoza. In fact, he had a great completion, and then, whoa!
Mendoza play fake, and he throws one over the middle. It's picked off. Here we go. Across the 40, the 50, it's Woodass. The 40 of the Raiders, the 30. Mendoza trying to chase him down at the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. Does he get in? Yes! Touchdown! Officials
Wade
checking the sideline and
to the house.
Yes.
You always love when the color commentator steps all over the play-by-play guy.
Yeah, it happens, man. Texas play-by-play guy. That's Mark Vandermeer. Rock and roll. That's his signature phrase.
Like
has
it.
Been for many years.
I dig it.
What did Mendoza say about this and what he learned about the Texans?
Yes. It was play-action play and went through my progression. Probably should have checked it down to the flat. Saw the flat player relate to him. And at that point, I started backing up and threw the check down to Mike Washington. And it was not a good throw. We weren't on the same page. And it was a interception.
Wade Woodass out of Clemson.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Right. Remember that dude?
That's right. Meanwhile, Mendoza talked about what he has learned in these preseason games and specifically what he learned from last night.
I came away that there's a lot of more learning to do. And that although that maybe he had a lot of success at another level, that this level's a whole step further, and that the margins are so small, and that, you know, one tiny mistake can lead to catastrophe. So I want to make sure that best serve my teammates and get better from these experiences.
You'd start him? You'd start the kid?
I just think if you have
Cousins' family is listening.
Hi, Kirk. And by the way, we've mended fences. We're all friends.
Oh, yeah.
Why waste time? There's nothing I mean, Kirk may say he's going to help out. Michael said, you know, he was politically correct, said Kirk helped him. Okay,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Are you really sponging up everything? Is Kirk really?
Kirk is a jerk. Kirk is a jerk.
I don't know who that was.
Who joined in there?
That sounds like you.
Is a jerk. Kirk is a jerk.
Sorry, the Cousins family, if you're listening up there.
We were hot. We were upset.
Things were so good. We're in first place. We're going to win the division. And then things went south.
And then he lied.
I know.
Again,
Raheem wasn't a silent partner. Raheem could have actually, you know, had some balls and made a decision once in his freaking life on this thing. But anyway, sorry, I digress.
I know.
But, yeah, I just think you don't learn anything from watching. You know, some guys say, look, Jordan Love, you know, Aaron Rodgers was in that weird spot with Brett Favre, and it wasn't like Brett Favre was warm and fuzzy with Rodgers. So either way, if you got the skill set, you can do it. I think also, if you were in some of those games, look, Carson Beck, you know, we debate, was there bad throws? Some were bad throws with Georgia. Some were just bad receiver play and drop balls. But Carson Beck played in some big games. And right now, he looks at a small sample size like he could be ready for the NFL. I think Mendoza played in some big moments, Carl. He won games. I mean, it was grinding at times for Indiana, like that Big Ten championship, the national championship. I think the stage isn't too big for him. I let him rip.
I think he's prepared for this. Right. I'm with you on that. What did Clint Kubiak, that's the Raiders coach, have to say about his quarterback, his rookie quarterback, Fernando Mendoza?
Yeah, the response doesn't, that's who he is. I think defensively they covered the play really well, and the backer did a great job stepping in front of our check down. I got to go watch it. But, yeah, the response is what we come to expect from him.
Yeah, I know the Raiders. This is transition. They got some growing pains to go through regardless of who the quarterback is. I think some of this is also, can we protect Cousins or Mendoza enough that we don't get the kid beat up? But right. I wanted to see what C.J. Stroud was going to do because he was awful to end the season last
year. Right. Think about that. We just talked about that Steeler game you know, with B-Mac last hour. He did everything in his power to give it right back to the Steelers. I mean, he has got to have a major resurgence this season.
I agree. And I'll tell you guys this before the season starts. He has the best defense in the NFL. You heard it here. They're good. And they're going to be good again this year. If they don't get there,
right.
It's going to be because of C.J. Stroud. They've done everything to improve around him. Here's what his head coach, D'Amico Ryan, said about his performance last night.
When CJ, I wanted to see him come out, get some live reps with the first offensive line, just see him get in rhythm, have some efficient plays, and he did exactly, you know, what we expected him to do. And that's the reason you just go get those live reps for him, so it's not the first time that they're rolling out versus Buffalo.
Mike, he played with confidence. I know, again, it's a drive, but this is what we've been waiting to see with our team. He came out, man, he's slinging that thing around. There was a chance, there was a one play where he runs. It looks like he's going to run. He's like, nah, I'm going to dump it off. Boom.
Right.
He was playing like the C.J. Stroud we saw his rookie year when he set those records, and everybody said, oh, God, this dude is special.
Right.
Right? That's what he looked like last night. And then we saw Jaden Daniels come in his rookie year and do the same thing. So that's how this, that's what I want to see. I want to see that confidence from our offense where you're moving the football and things are clicking, and I saw that from the Texans.
Still wish we had drafted Davis Mills in 2021. I think we might have had our heir apparent to Matt Ryan.
He's still there.
Still there. When he gets his shots, he does pretty well with it. Last night, I mean, I don't know if you stayed up to watch San Francisco and the Chargers, man. I watched a little bit of that. Oof.
Did Herbert play?
Yeah, if you didn't see it, that game was it was just absolute whooping. And San Francisco, we got to see Justin Herbert for one series, one of two for nine. And then okay. You know, they get the hook. But I said Mac Jones was in there for much of it, but Brock Purdy did start four of six. So again, all the guys projected to start got their series and then got out of there. But you know, the 49ers, they got a lot of injuries, man. I mean, everybody's talking about 49ers running it. You know, Chargers have injuries. They lost their center. All those, you know, reports, you know, about what McCaffrey has been sort of holding in, sort of, in his bag about wanting more money since Jameer and our guy, Bijan, right, reset the market.
Yeah.
But anyway, 49ers do run, or just like poop through a goose, 41-17.
Tonight, by the way, more preseason football. Jets at Steelers. You get Panthers at Jags, if you're curious to watch a little bit of the Panthers in our division. That's going to be, I think, on ESPN Unlimited, if you have that package. Packers at Broncos at 9 o'clock on NFL Network. And also, we found out the Lions are unsure if Sam LaPorta is going to be available for week one, the season opener, as he deals with an injury at a recent practice. Dan Campbell saying it's a little flare-up. That's an interesting team, too, Mike. And we're going to have our breakdowns here in the next couple of weeks as we get closer to opening, you know, the season. Lions window, man. That's a good football team. And look, I don't know if this is their last go, but, Mike, this has been a build-up. And you made that run, and then you kind of fell off last year.
Look, Lions fans, and my Aunt Matilda is one, Carl, goes back to Dan Campbell's over-aggressiveness against the 49ers in the NFC Championship that came back to bite them. You know, that's going back 2 years. You know, and then there's moments. So you got to tell us. We know about moments.
That's right. That's
so true. It's a good question about Detroit.
Hey, man, Mike makes a great point. We were just having a conversation in the break, as we normally do. And he said, why? Why? It just doesn't make any sense. Stay there. We'll tell you what it is next. Coming up, we'll find out what is on J-Day's mind. I know what's on my mind.
Mm.
And Mike said it when we were in the break. And I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, it just doesn't make sense. What doesn't make sense?
Yeah, I mean, all right, you got a battle of two of the best pitchers right now in baseball. Certainly a guy who is going to be the odds-on favorite for the Cy Young, Jacob Mizrowski with the Brewers, over 100 miles an hour velo. You know what this guy's all about. Chris Sale should probably have a few more wins. They haven't given him the run support, but Chris Sale, a Cy Young caliber season. So two of the best pitchers in baseball, two first-place division leaders. Let's put them on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
What?
It's the stupidest. This is where baseball fails in every opportunity to market their stars. This is a game where you talk to FS once, hey, you guys want this on Friday night? Okay.
That's right.
You know, and or you work with your partners or MLB, and not everybody has MLB Network, but there's got to be a better way to showcase what is a very important game and a preview of a potential playoff matchup. It's baseball always screws this up.
I agree. Mizrowski was asked about the matchup, and he said, quote, I really don't focus on these matchups, but it's going to be fun. He says, it's like last year, you know, playing against Kershaw. It's one of those moments where you go, holy cow, I'm in the big leagues. That's how he's thinking about this. Mm. But, you know, you look at this Brewers team. This is a team that enters this series winners of five of their last seven. They just recently scored 22 runs. They can do it all. And this is a team that could be vying for a World Series. So this guy is a bona fide number one starter. Okay?
This is where Strider, you know, remember where Strider was three years ago?
That's right.
Now, that's why I asked the question to Grant McCall. I wasn't trying to be like, oh, let's be, you know, nervous Nelly. And can he maintain this? Can you? Because there's only a couple of guys, you know, Bob Gibson, Don Drysdale, Nolan Ryan, you know, Tom Seaver that kept that kind of heat their whole careers.
By the way, Chris Sale has had five straight quality start since the All-Star break. Five or more innings, guys. I mean, he's just been that dude. And he's out there every time. And Mike said it. Lack of run support is the reason why he doesn't probably. He's 12-8. Probably should be 17 wins on the season.
I mean, he literally, I can think of three right off the top of my head where they, you know, of course, that Yankee balk game still just drives everybody bananas. But anyway, yeah, I mean, but Chris Sale against Mizorowski, that's, now the big question for Milwaukee is, what are you guys going to do? You load up, you didn't get what you wanted at the trade deadline, but you still got a loaded squad. So is this year you finally get to a World Series for the first, what, 82, right? When they were in the American League.
Yeah, that's right. And Mizorowski, by the way, faced the Braves for the first time in his two-year career. It was back on June 19th. He took the L. We may or may not remember. He gave up 2 runs, 5 hits, and 6 innings. It was a 3-2 game. I expect tonight to be the same thing.
Right.
I expect these guys to be dealing. And look, our guys, somebody's going to have to come up big, Mike, in this lineup and get a couple of hits off this guy and get somebody in scoring position. But I do not expect like a 10-9 game tonight. If that happens, then that means both of these guys imploded.
Things have gone horribly wrong. Cats off to Grant Holmes. Stopping the bleeding. General Custer to the rescue. Did a nice job. A one-hitter against the White Sox. We talked about, you know, that's great. Hopefully they build some confidence after getting swept by Minnesota, get their head right, because it's just all first-place teams. White Sox are first-place, Brewers, and then the Dodgers when we come back to Atlanta.
All right, one other note just real quick about Sale. And this just tells you how good he's been and how from a level of confidence in running him out there. He's one of seven pitchers of the live ball era, okay, for you baseball heads out there, that has an ERA of 2 or better, all right, 2.2 or better through the first 22 starts of a season. He's 37,
right?
So when you start talking about, you know, how good he's been, not only the quality starts and what he gives you, but then that puts it in context, because baseball's all numbers, guys, and that's why they keep all this stuff. But that's he is the first on the list since Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander in 2022 to be a guy who started in his first 22 starts of the season and have an ERA of 2 or better. So that's incredible. And so he's had a really good year. But I'm with Mike. I think Mizorowski, just because of the way he does it. See, the flair matters. As fans, we want to see a guy throwing heat and striking guys out. Sale's efficient. Woof, 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 putting it where he wants. This dude is like, I'm about to throw 100. Good luck.
Yeah, you can't hit it. I also like Sale because Sale's got that dog in him, like John Smoltz and Glavin and Matt. You know what I mean? He's just... That's the tough guy persona. That's, you know, we talk about, you know, wanting more of that on our everyday players. You're on right. The Braves. Sales that guy.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here on a Friday, we had a great conversation with our buddy B-Mac in the 2 o'clock hour talking about the Falcons. And then we had Daniel Flick on from theajc.com. The big thing to take from Daniel's conversation is no news about Michael Penix Jr. I think everybody was freaking out yesterday when he said, hey, gonna get a chance to talk to my doctor. Great. And now we're all just waiting patiently. What's the word, Mike? There is none.
Yes. Well, as we said earlier to start the show, we had guys texting and going, you're dogging out Penix for following doctor's orders? Okay. All right, man.
Is that what's happening?
Okay. Doctor tells you to cut out on the cholesterol. You're not eating at Popeyes? Okay. I mean, good for you. If you can have that discipline.
No, I'm still eating Popeyes. I ain't giving up Popeyes.
I mean, that's why, I take Crestor, so
my grandmama ate the whole hog from the rooter to the tooter.
That's right. I'm not giving it up.
Bro, that's why I take cholesterol medicine so I can eat this stuff. Probably not what the doctor would want me to say, but anyway, yes. But yeah, it's so funny. Guys like, yeah, you're going to dog out a guy for following doctors. No. Just when he says things, which you and I, there's always a little comment from Mike, you and I go, When he says, yeah, man, I feel ready. I can do everything. I'm ready. But, you know, if I can't run away, why'd you say that?
Right.
What? Aaron, you want to track that? If you can find, I'm sorry, we were just talking about that soundbite we played earlier.
You can say whatever you want.
I love his openness, but sometimes somebody's like, don't let all that out.
No, it's what you don't say sometimes. Go ahead, Big O.
I mean, I do a lot of drill work. As far as the pocket, I can do everything. If I had a rush coming at me and everything, I can get away. But it's just right now, if I don't get away, that's what we're thinking about. If I don't get away, you know, I don't think my doctor is ready for me to, you know, take those hits right now. But that time is coming real soon.
So his doctor told him that? Because where does that come from? You don't wake up in the morning and go, you know, if I can't get away, he probably don't want me to take that hit.
Well, it's just the hard part, and some of our guys asked us the question, you and I talked about this on Monday, is, okay, so today, you know, you can't. Tomorrow, good to go. It's like, what the? It's like, you know, no.
12 hours
today,
from now.
Today, I can't have anybody laying hands on you in a drill, but, you know, Tuesday, you're good to go, boss. Green light. But okay, they follow it. They got a script, and they're sticking to it. 9 months to the day is apparently 9 months to the day, and no sooner.
Mm. Okay, so that's what we're waiting on. And Falcon fans are just going to have to wait patiently.
Can he be trusted?
Good question. But once he is cleared, it doesn't mean immediately that they run him out there. Mike brought up a good point. I'm like, okay, that means we see him in the third preseason game. Not so fast. Slow your roll.
And something that we talked about with BMAC, he was kind of throwing cold water on that the last few weeks, just thinking probably not enough time to get what you want. Now, again, had Michael been in the scrimmage today, 11-on-11, then I think it's a green light for week three preseason. And Stefanski, for those who don't remember, he said he wants to play his starters historically in weeks one and week three.
Yeah. All right. And I have no expectation for tomorrow, by the way. I'd love to see Rush play better.
Right.
Because, all right, I'm about to say something that's really going to freak y'all out. I'd want to see Rush play better. Because we're two plays away from Cooper Rush being our starting quarterback for a season.
True story.
I don't want to freak you out, but you guys need to realize this. So, Jack Strand, as much as the upside is there, if, God forbid, Mike, this is a catastrophe, and both guys end up being injured, Cooper Rush is your starter, Atlanta. That's where we're at. So, we need to see him play well and be acclimated as much as possible, but that's just something to put out there. And again, I'm not wishing that. I want to see our guys out there. I want to see our best team out there. But there's always a backup plan, and that's the scary backup plan right now when you start saying, okay, well, what if? Well, what if? That's right. Where we're at.
Well, the year Brock Purdy got hurt in San Francisco, they didn't have anything. They literally had to get a guy off the street to play in the NFC Championship, and they got boat raced by the Eagles. So it's just – and with, that's why I've always felt, why don't owners just expand the roster to 60 guys? It makes no sense. Why? It makes sense. They're cheap. They're saving some money. It's like, why don't we have grass? It costs too much. Field turf, blow a knee out. Blow a knee out. Ironically, though, like Jalen Walker, that was on grass. So there's, again, there was really, when you have correlation to the field turf and the injuries, we're seeing guys all over the NFL having season-ending injuries and they're practicing on grass.
All right, man, plenty more to dive into. Kirby giving a pregame speech, and it wasn't to his team.
Oh.
We'll tell you about that coming up at 4 o'clock, but what's next is what's on Day Day's mind as we head to a Friday edition of What's on Day Day's Mind. Next.